years ago, I went down to the Cape to be one of those fabulous guests who get to attend the launch of a new Jesus Collective album. And then 2 years later, I went again. And both times it was cold, but really worth it. Hello, Hilton Peterson. How are you doing?
All right, Janine. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Listen, yeah. You keep doing this to yourself, huh? I mean, you don't do things small. You do things big when you do Jesus Collective stuff.
Yes,
so let's, before we get into that evening and everything, let's just remind people, the Hilton Peterson at home, the normal guy who doesn't have to impress anyone, who are you?
I'm Hilton, and I'm a father of two boys, married to a beautiful wife. And yeah, so I'm here and a businessman and... Yeah, I'm just trying to live a Christ worth living life.
Most. As in businessman, outside of music as well?
Yeah, outside of music as well, yes. Outside of music as well, yes. I've got a real work, a real proper job, yes.
The race isn't a proper job. The music, you'll have everyone in music
just
up in arms, Brood.
It's just a passion, is because that's passion, you know. That's, I believe that music is, you know, it's a calling. You get my point. This industry of music is really it's a gifting, you know. And a passion. So that's why I'm calling it, like, when I work, it's what the world said, whatever we have to get from the world is to go and come and implement in the kingdom. So yeah, so I've got something that I can go to as to learn in the world and then to implement in the kingdom, yes.
And your role in music, how did that happen?
I think our family has always been a musically orientated. We all just love music. My mom, my grandfather played the accordion, the harp, concertina. We always used to sing everywhere. When I went to funerals, weddings with my mom was always this auntie that put in the song first. So yeah, so we come from a very musical background, yes.
But officially, why didn't you do music full time when you can?
Like I said again, that's a calling, eh? That's a complete calling. So for me right now, I think, you know, with the music of the passion of Jesus Collective is basically the passion of going out for outreach. And then yeah, with the album now is because I've started this label called Collective Records. I think it's just now been 2 years. And so I'm really starting to see how this is going, and I'm busy building that. So maybe one day, you know, I'll be full time in this.
Let's remind everyone, Jesus Collective, the Jesus Collective. Now, how did it start out? Whose idea was this?
Jesus Collective was, you know, I'm in Johannesburg, and when everybody came to visit me, they always wanted to meet the old Soapy Seven Alarm cast members. And when people came to Johannesburg, I always had to make sure that they can go to the studio and meet these people. Obviously, unfortunately, the show has now sat down and has ended. But when I got to my communities many years ago, I saw at 6:30 that the streets was empty. There was no one there. And then also, I think it was the same time that the One Gospel was launched. So at any family or home that I got to that was born-again people or believers, I would always see that it was on this channel. And then I realized when my grandmother passed away, and she's not even seen Durban. She's not even seen Johannesburg. And so I thought, look, there's always people admiring Aloiso Bala, admiring Amara Buchanan. There's people admiring Tokozo, Akaya, Asle, but they would never be able to see. That's the reality is that they would never be able to see these people. So the first idea was to bring these people to our people. And then I saw later on that this can actually grow a pastor's church. And then it became an evangelistic tool. And then from there, obviously, the ministry was birthed when I lost my mother, and I just never wanted to do anything with God, His kingdom. I was just secretively very angry. And then after that, you know, in July 2016, after an outreach, like the scripture says, 1 Samuel 16, when the evil spirit was upon Saul, I went into the presence. I sat and while very angry still with God because He didn't make my mother stay alive. And when we were in the presence of God, I just felt that heaviness just going, and I just had a reconnection with the Holy Spirit and Yeshua, and I just felt understand, and I and this person was birthed. And me and Louisa sat next to one another, and Louisa said, "This is a collective worship." And I said, "As long as Jesus is the center of it." So that's basically how it basically just started.
But you must have needed those connections with the people. I mean, Claire, and all of those people, they, it's exactly like you say. The reason they can't see them is because they do performances and this costs money, and that is why normal
100%.
people on the street will never see them. But for them to
100%.
be then connected to a group that they know is going to cost them money, not get their money in, you know, to get these people to take part in something that doesn't actually have monetary value for them. You understand what I'm
Yes,
asking? How did
100%.
how
Yes,
did you convince these people?
I think the convincing was the Holy Spirit, obviously. But first of all, like for the first part of people like Ntokozo and her husband Kobeko, I didn't know before, and it was only Luis Obala that through his connection at that time, you know, he could speak to them. Slayer was a situation where she was singing at a concert in 2014, and it was 2014 years, and I heard her singing, and we were already doing it, and I wanted to invite her that time already, but you know, by the grace of God, we were at one concert one day, and we were actually at the third service of Marvin Winans, and I turned around, and there she was, and we were just talking, and I explained to her. She said, no, I fully know of the Jesus Collective, and so yeah, so I always invited them to come and check and come and see what it is, and then explain to them, like, and so they obviously understand now that this is a place where they can just come out and be just living out their passion and just say thank you to God for the gifting and the calling. And so yeah, they're an absolute pleasure to have around. But you know, we have to also get to a space where collective is not only being known by Eloise Bala, by Ntokozo, and you know, it's a conversation that we had before that we also have to evolve in people that we as ourselves can also be going into this warfare, that we ourselves can also go into the space where we lift up the name of Jesus and people's lives are transformed.
And there's a whole paying forward thing now because you're also discovering new talent.
100%, 100%. So through this, there's people obviously that's staying in Delft, that's staying in very bad conditions, you know. And these people, you know, this is the gift and the calling that they've got from the Lord. And yeah, this is unfortunately, I had a prophecy many years over my life where the person said that Joseph Z was actually from the U.S. He said he doesn't know me, but he just saw that I've got this platform of messages, and so I just believe that God has created and given me this platform of messages, and that I would be raising young lions. And so this is just what I just focus on fulfilling this word that God has spoken over my life. So that's basically just what we're doing. We just go, we create this platform of messages, whatever message it is, through speaking, through singing, through encouragement, whatever that platform is that God has given to this collective, we are just going out and sharing that message, and through that we would raise young lions, you know.
I'm just thinking, it's easy to hear someone's got a great voice. So obviously I can think that anyone in the collective goes out there and if they perform at a church, maybe they hear someone with a really, really amazing voice. But you are also interested in the character behind the voice. For someone to be part of the Jesus Collective, you
Yes.
need to know that they've got a heart for ministry, but not the one that knows church lingo, the one that's actually passionate about Jesus. How do you find that out?
Look, this Jesus Collective is completely, like I said, it's. I mean, you came on two occasions now. You've never been to an outreach, but the ones that you come is a production. So it's the lights. It's, you know, it's the cameras.
Exactly.
It's the, you know what I'm saying? But the real Jesus Collective is going out to these small communities. We're on a truck. We're in a dusty road. You know what I'm saying? Winds are blowing. Sometimes it's not the best conditions, you know. But we are going out there. We're going into people's homes. We're trying to just share this gospel, you know. And so I think at the end of the day, really, we were speaking about it last night. It's the servant heart, man. It was a Shunammite woman that was just being hospitable to the prophet Elijah, and she was just doing what. But the prophet said, "What can we do to this woman?" It's the servant that saw. what a need was. You get my point. So it's us being servants that can go out all together. No one think that no one is important than the other one, but we're all equal in front of Jesus' eyes and the Lord's eyes. We go into these communities and we've just been servants and recognizing the lead, the need of God's people, the need of the world. And so that's the heart of this ministry. It's not to be close to Kozo, it's not to be close to Slayer, it's not to be close to Kaya, Pastor Kaya, but at the end of the day, to So, but it's to understand that this is an opportunity to serve God's people, and it's completely something completely different from church. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not a program of it's not three songs praise and a worship song. It is just being in the presence and waiting on Him to tell us the direction of where we should go next.
I was speaking to Mac and Kakai, and Max was so humbled and privileged to be part of this collective. To me, it was such a beautiful thing that it is something that is close to his heart and to him feels important kingdom-wise. And I can think it's a different thing to be your own person, like Lo Yiso with the lights and the camera and the action around one person versus being part of a collective that can now behind stage and do life and get in a combi and travel some places. That there has to be a getting to know and later submitting to one another's opinion and even a little accountability in the group, isn't it?
100%. 100%, yes. I mean, I was just thinking the other day, we were just talking and I was just thinking, everyone, if you look over these years, we shot that one previous Restored album. It was in the middle of COVID, you know. We lost one of our members, the late Sipokazi in Kumalo. And then we had Ntokoza losing her mother. We had Zeza Nedling who's also part of the group. She lost her grandfather. I lost my grandfather. So I think through all of this pain and through all of this, so we really has been knitted together as one family, understanding that we, without one another, you know, without loving one another, without reprimanding one another, without guiding one another, you know, and I mean, all of these people, as much as I'm the leader of this movement, they have their own pastors, you know, they have their own leaders that they look up to, you know, and I think this platform is creating, I almost want to say it creates a better person, a better servant to their leaders, you know. So this is the platform that how I see it. It's a place where whoever serves, wherever they serve, this platform comes and it develops your career, it develops your character. The word says in Romans 5 verse 3, it says, through perseverance, sufferings, and endurance, then this now builds your character. So we have to suffer, we have to endure, we have to persevere, and then it builds our character, and that character brings hope. And that hope never disappoints. So I think this is what we just trying to endure. Like the fearless lovers of worship is exactly that. It's saying we are fearlessly worshiping Him. Doesn't matter if we are rejected. Doesn't matter if we without job, without finance. We're just here to let Him know that we are not serving you for what we can get from you, but we are serving you for who you are. In general, just being Yahweh, just being God, you know?
Fearless Lovers of Worship, that's where the flow comes from, which is the name of the new album. And by the way, I love the spirit of excellence. I mean, I know you normally you can get into the dust where you don't have the best of sound when doesn't you know when you just perform in normal places. But when it comes to the recordings and the launches, it's big, it's beautiful, it's impressive. And I want God's stuff to be impressive. Is that the heart behind it?
Yeah, I think I was besides my mother. Auntie Sandra Carolus, through my younger years, I was at a church called Impact Center Church in South Africa. But the pastors that we have and had was pastors from Australia, the late Pastor Eddie Lolesi and his wife, Pastor Gay Lolesi. And so when they came here, when I joined up to the church for that 4 or 5 years that they were in South Africa, this is where I was taught this excellence, you know, where they taught us that God's things can also be of beauty. You get my point, that we have to invest at least into this kingdom. Like you were saying, when we go out to the on a track to a community, I don't go with speakers that squeaking. We still go and take expensive equipment to serve our people, you know? So we still make that excellent. We still make our timing. We don't waste anybody's time. We get there, we do our outreach, we make sure that we are professional about it. We make sure that we give the right type of quality to our people. So that excellence was actually birthed and instilled through them in me, so that today that I can understand that when I do something for God, that I can do it at the best that I can, the best possible that I can, so that people understand when they're in this presence, it's not to make money, it's not to gain anything from it, but to let people know this is the God that we serve.
And I mean, we know the right answers. Like, we know when the word says, if you want to be first, you need to be last, the servant of all. You can talk servanthood and you can say all the right things in an interview about
100%.
servanthood, but servanthood is actually seen and experienced in the way you relate to people, in the it's in the vibe. It's if people actually believe that you don't think you're better than them. And that comes out when you speak to the sound guy behind the stage, and you know, with someone, a kid who's getting in your way and you're falling over him. That's when the humility comes out. I'm sure that's tested often when you're out on the road.
No, definitely. I mean, I remember when Pumlani, our sound engineer, came in, and he, when they do sound check, and that's just my heart, man. I was speaking about it yesterday. I said, we have to be careful when you're on the stage all the time, because you always look down to people. Like, you look down, that's your vision. So when anybody at any church, at any point in time, doesn't matter if you're doing the announcements, doesn't matter if you're doing tithes and offerings, if you're in that program and you go onto that stage, the people are lower than what you are. You know what I'm saying? And so that psychologically is what we as believers need to look out for. That's always been my heart. I was raised in a sack for 18 years. My mother taught me that it's in your humility that God will exalt you, So when he came that one day and he was just calling out to the drummer for drummer kicking, and he says, drummer Toms now, Toms now. And I said, no, it's not. So I took the mic and I said, Pumlani, it's not drama. His name is Marlon. You know what I'm saying? So that's always our heart, that whoever comes in the first time, that they should understand that this is an environment that we're all equal, that this is an environment that we are here to serve God's people. And that's what it's all about.
At that recording on when we were just there for Flow, you had lots of preachers. Yes, and a latrius God, where those people who was preaching at the people, man, and it was like a relay. The one passed the baton to the next guy, and then the next guy, and then you ended it off to preach after those preachers. You better not be, mellow or at all. But listen, you had a little bit of time that you could tell the audience what was on your heart. What was it that you wanted them to leave with from your heart?
Well, that night I was speaking about, well, I actually spoke about it last night as well. I was speaking about the fact that, when blind Bartimaeus was outside the gate of Jericho, and the people, besides the people saying to him, he must be quiet, and all of those things, the words that he shouted out, Son of David, have mercy on me, And amongst all of those crowd of people that God, that Jesus heard him shouting. The first time he didn't hear him, but then he changed his frequency. He changed his note. You get my point? And that's what that's what I said that night. That you're so used to coming in and saying Jesus, 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 but just change your note, meaning your heart of expectancy, your perception of what it is in the presence, and understanding where you are for that night. So here's Brian Bartimaeus, and the word says that he shouted out, and the word says that as we understand, if you had any infirmity, any sickness, or whatever disease that you had, you had to have a type of coat on you. So people would identify you quickly with what you were wearing. You get my point?
Yeah.
And so we come into the presence of God. We come in with our coats of depression and sickness and whatever that is. We still leave the presence of God with that coat, And so blind Bartimaeus, the word says that when Jesus called him, the same people that said to him, he should be quiet, said to him, cheer up, he's calling, go run, And we have to understand that before you get into close contact of Christ, with Christ, when you've come into close, the same people that were saying to you, making a noise, will be the people to push you to go to him. So I said that when the word says exactly to us that when Jesus says, come to me, he took off his coat. And then he walked to Jesus. So when he got to Jesus, he looked like everyone else. That's why Jesus asked him, "What is it that I can do for you?" Because he had no identification, no indication of what that he was suffering from some disease, because he took off the coat. Then that's why Jesus says, "Even when I just called you, you already walked in your in your sight." You know what I'm saying? So he already walked in his sight. He already took off the cloak. And so that's what I was just telling people, that we should come into the presence of God, taking off our cloak. Yes, that is the problem, that we are unemployed. But just take off that cloak of unemployment when you go into the, because in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. There's everything in there, and God can turn anything. And that's where God says, "Your faith has made you whole." And that's why God said to him, "Your faith has healed you." You know, because already on his way to him, he let go of whatever this thing was that was keeping him behind.
I'm just thinking, Uncle Angus used to say, if you pray for rain, you bring your umbrella. You don't leave the umbrella at home, you bring the umbrella. Where's your umbrella? How come you're praying for rain and you don't have an umbrella? Listen, if people want to follow the Jesus Collective, because obviously these songs will now be launched, they will be released on radio and all of the places, where can people follow you and also get hold of the music?
So they can follow the Jesus Collective on Facebook and the Jesus Collective ZA on Instagram. And so, yeah, so soon we will let everyone know of the first single. They should just follow our and look out, be on the lookout for our socials.
Socials and for bookings and that, because obviously people want you to come and perform.
Booking on our website, yes. There's a website, Jesus Collective website, yes.
Ah, as simple as that. Thank you for your time, sir. I'm hoping that we're obviously going to play the previous Jesus Collective songs because we don't have the new ones yet, but we are waiting with
Almost there.
bated breath. As soon as the first one comes, we'll start having those interviews as well. Congratulations, because I can tell you, as part of the congregation that was there that evening, the audience, they loved it. The people were dancing. The next second, everybody comes from the chairs. You can see this is South African audiences now. They don't believe in staying in the chairs.
Yes.
They came down forward, they were dancing and singing and ah, la la la. They had such fun. I had fun there. It was amazing. So
Yes.
I'm
It's
hoping that you
amazing.
will never stop doing this. Keep on making the great music. Keep on getting stunning voices, but more stunning hearts together. And may it be a platform that launches obscure people into the
Thank you
music
so much.
scene that otherwise wouldn't have a platform or would have taken 20 years to get this stuff out there for Kingdom. We don't have time. It is urgent that we get our stuff
It's
out
the
there
end time.
and
It's
the
the end
stuff
time, yes.
that we do it well. So thanks, Hilton. We are very proud of you guys. Okay.
Thank you, Janine. Thank you for coming, and thank you for your presence, eh?